I just thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for my life, Lord Jesus. I thank you for my Free Spirit Worship Church family, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just pray for the word that you put on my heart on today, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just ask you to bless it, Lord, that it may be encouraging for those who are hearing. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank God. Amen. Amen. And praise God. As Pastor shared, yes, we're going to be talking about righteousness. I'm just opening just to tell you what is righteousness. And I have a few scriptures I want to share with you all. So if you want to write them down, I can go back over them later. The first one is Genesis 15:6. For those, you know, I mean, you can find it in your in whatever Bible you use. But we use the voice version, and that's on page 16. Deuteronomy 6:25, that's on page 216. Romans 5:1, that's on page 1378. 2 Corinthians 5:21, that's on page 1419. Romans 4:5, that's on page 1377. And Romans 10:4, that's on page 1385. Again, Genesis 15:6, Deuteronomy 6:25, Romans 5:1, 2 Corinthians 5:21, Romans 4:5, and Romans 10:4. Amen. All right. The Oxford Dictionary defines righteousness as the quality of being morally right or justifiable. A spiritual meaning of righteousness is the quality of being right in the eyes of God. That means our character, you mean our nature, our conscience, which is our attitude, our conduct, that's our action, and our command, which is our word, has to be right with God. Righteousness is the perfect holiness of Christ, and it is an essential attribute to the character of God, meaning one who is right. You know, in the Bible, you know, we hear and we read about righteousness, but, you know, I wonder this. I don't have any scriptures in Job, but Job is described as a man whose righteousness and good deeds appear perfect, yet who is tormented by God's messenger as the adversary or Satan. You know, the lesson learned in the book of Job is that God's people must have unwavering faith in him and never stray from respecting and honoring him. Now, righteousness doesn't mean you have to have that holier-than-thou attitude. It means just doing what's right in God's eyes. Righteousness in the Bible first appeared in Genesis 15:6. And although 6 is the key verse, I just want to start back at verse 1, okay, in Genesis. It says, sometime passed one day, the word of the Eternal came to Abram through the vision of a kind of waking dream, eternal one. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am always your shield and protector. Your reward for loyalty and trust will be immense. Abram, eternal Lord, what could you possibly give me that would make that much of a difference in my life? After all, I am still childless, and Eliezer of Damascus stands to inherit all I own. Since you have not given me the gift of children, my only heir will be the one of the servants born to my household. Immediately, the word of the Eternal One came to him. Eternal One, know, Abram, this man will not be your heir. No one but your very own child will be the heir for you. God took him outside and showed him something. Eternal One, look up at the stars and try to count them. All of them, count them all as you can. There are many to count. Your descendants are as many as the stars. In verse 6, Abram believed and trusted in God's promises. So God counted it to his favor as righteousness. And that's what Abram did. Before, and this is Abram before he was known as Abraham. And then God did fulfill that promise. At the age of 99, Abraham became the father. Him and Sarah had a son, and, you know, his dream was fulfilled, or his blessing was fulfilled. As I was doing my studying, reading, I read where God delivered his people out of Egypt through Moses. He gave them a set of laws called the Torah. And the Torah, you know, is the first part of the Jewish Bible. We also know it as the first five books of the Bible, which is known as Genesis, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Exodus, and Leviticus. And the purpose of this was to teach the Israelites how to live righteously through obedience, to teach them to live like him, God. In those five books, we have read a story of God delivering, restoring, and establishing a covenant with his people. In Deuteronomy 6:25, it says, if we carefully obey everything the Eternal God has commanded us, then we'll be living as we should in righteousness and in right relationship with him. However, because of their hardened hearts, the heart of stone, the people constantly rebelled against God's laws. And how many times do we find ourselves doing that? We do it. We do it today. No matter how much, we still do it. In order for them to obey the law and produce righteousness, that hardened heart needed to be replaced. And that heart would desire good, God, and delight in his law rather than continue in sin. And God provided a way through his son, Jesus Christ. Romans 10:4 says, you see, God's purpose for the law reaches its climax when the anointed one arrives. Now, all who trust in him can have their lives made right with God. And if you go, I love the Voice Bible. If you don't have one, I really recommend that you get one. And I went further reading in that. And if you just read the little verse that they have under that, it says God's plan is to restore the world, disfigured by sin and death, reaches its climax with the resurrection of Jesus. When a king enters, all the prophecies, all of the hopes, all of the longings find in him their true fulfillment. There may have been earlier fulfillments, but these are only partial fulfillments, signposts along the way to God's true goal. The goal has been the restoration of people to a holy God. With Jesus, we find the only perfect man with right standing before God. He comes to blaze a path defined by God's justice, not by our own sense of right and wrong. All men, women, and children who commit their lives to him will be made right with God and will begin their new lives defined by the faith and God's new covenant. When God sees his people, he doesn't see our sin. He sees us clothed in in the righteousness of Christ. Romans 5:1 says, since we have been acquitted and made right through faith, we are able to experience true and lasting peace with God through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, the Liberating King. But sometimes we are unable to obey the law, and we live in righteousness. So Christ came and lived in perfection in our place. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it said he orchestrated this. The Anointed One, who had never experienced sin, Jesus never experienced sin. He became sin for us, so that in him we might embody the very righteousness of God. Romans 4:5 says, so for the person who does not work, but instead trusts in the one who makes the ungodly right, his faith is counted for his righteousness. So let us, just remember that righteousness is a God-centered characteristic. No one can attain it through his own efforts. That means we can't attain it through our own efforts. We need God. Righteousness is a wonderful gift from God to humanity through Christ's act of love. And we know with that act of love, his on the Christ, God, Jesus was sacrificed on the cross for us. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for these words of encouragement, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just ask that you continue to touch our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, show us to be right in God's eyes, not in man's eyes, Lord Jesus, but in God's eyes. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank God. Amen.